Government Ways and Means process this morning. And this morning, the first item on our agenda is Senate Bill 5506 and House Bill 3597. Now, these two bills go together as a group, and what I would like to do then is open just a public hearing, because we are in a subcommittee of the subcommittee, on Senate Bill 5506 and House Bill 3597, specifically for the intention of receiving the recommendation from Legislative Fiscal Office. And we have then a total of about 25 minutes, I guess, until our 9:15, at which time we'll go ahead and continue to receive the Mill Creek Report. So with that, Adrian Sexton represents Legislative Fiscal Office. Karen Segrist is our clerk for the day, and we'll go ahead because we lack Senator Winters, who is out of town, and Representative Johnson, who is in the governor's office. But we'll continue this morning to receive the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation on the two bills that are open for public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and subcommittee members. The budget of the Capital Planning Commission contained in Senate Bill 5506 for 2003-2005 was the very first budget hearing that your subcommittee conducted back on January 28th.
Hope this isn't a bad omen.
Well, Mr. Chair, this, as you know, in the intervening time, the co-chairs have developed their proposed budget, which an element of which is to recommend suspension of the Capital Planning Commission functions for the biennium 2003-2005. Legislative Fiscal Office then is bringing forward to you for consideration the two items that you have in front of you today that would accomplish that. And it consists of two parts. One is the budget bill, Bill 5506, which would provide, with an amendment, would provide the agency with additional expenditure limitation for the 2001-03 biennium, the current biennium, for some additional usual services and supplies expenditures that they are expecting to need to complete, typical things like rent and telephone and so forth for the balance of the biennium. But it would also include payment of staff accrued vacation in anticipation of the function of the commission ending on June 30th. So you have in front of you a dash one amendment that would accomplish that that expenditure increase for the present. The other item is House Bill 3597, which this subcommittee can use as a vehicle for implementing the remaining portion of the suspension. That would be to, and you have a section by section that goes through and identifies all of the changes necessary to accomplish this for only the 03-05 biennium. So while it repeals some sections of the Commission's responsibilities, it reinstates them automatically on July 1 of 2005, absent any other legislative action in the 2005 session. 3597 amendments would also provide for continuing responsibility to be taken up by the Department of Administrative Services. That has to do with the executive residence account and activities for projects that may come forward during the interim associated with the executive residence. And then further, 3597 would appropriate to the Department of Administrative Services the Capital Planning Commission account so that Department of Administrative Services could make any additional payments such as unemployment claims and any other expense requirements that become known after on or after July 1, subsequent to having that amendment drafted for your consideration. Budget management would like us to also give them a specific limitation for 2003-05 for the Department of Administrative Services, and we would suggest then that a limitation be placed in House Bill 3597 in the amount of $21,630. Between the increased expenditure limitation for 0103 and the additional amount out of their, essentially it's funded out of the agency's ending balance, the 2003-05 expenditures, there would still likely be some funds remaining in the Capital Planning Commission account at the end of the 2003-05 biennium in the event the executive branch brings forward a budget for the commission for 2005-07, the remaining funds could serve as a starting balance.
I just had one question to make certain, a question relative to the Capital Planning Commission itself. The commission is directed to meet those times deemed advisable by the majority of its members, and that's provided for by statute, and I recognize that what we would be doing is that we would be amending the statute for the present time, sunsetting that in January of 2006, under the current item number one, section one, sunsets on January 2nd, 2006, under section 30. The question that I had was the members of the Capital Planning Commission, are they exempt from suit, or are they still provided some kind of liability protection?
Mr. Chair, that is a question I hadn't considered, nor had legislative counsel brought to my attention any issue around that. The amendment does direct the commission that it shall not meet, and essentially its responsibilities for being part of the capital project planning and development and review processes that state agencies need to go through for the period of time of the 2003-05 biennium are simply kind of parsed out of that process, and all of the other processes required for agencies to go through with Department of Administrative Services would continue. As to liability of the commission, I'm not sure what liability they currently have insofar as their responsibilities to review and approve projects and master area plans.
Representative Patridge has a legal background. Perhaps Representative Patridge?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the state is predominantly self-insured in these matters, and I think it is a matter I think it's just generally a matter of both state and local government practice to if a squad, for example, if I left the Medford City Council, which I did, and then the Medford City Council was subsequently sued over some particular action that I, while I was a member of, while I participated in those decisions, they would cover those rather than a claims made policy like you or I may have or many businesses may have. I think that we cover the members of public bodies and commissions on an ongoing basis, kind of like tail coverage. But since we're self-insured, I think.
There is probably not a specific policy that protects the commission members themselves, under risk management, the Department of Administrative Services would have some allowance in there for the ongoing potential, any potential suit filed subsequent, because they would not be meeting and taking any specific action if they're specifically precluded from meeting to take action.
And I think it's probably, I would imagine that piece is probably in statute, but the state will cover that. And at one point in time, I knew where that was, but I don't recall that the state will cover that, but for the willful and reckless actions of commissioners, legislators, or whatever the case.
Further
legislators
questions,
or whatever.
Representative Patrick.
No further questions, Mr. Chair.
Other questions of staff relative to the recommendations of staff dealing with 5506, Senate Bill 5506, and House Bill 3597. It was my understanding that 5506, Senate Bill 5506, was actually drawn back in by the co-chairs. Did they reassign it to us?
Mr. Chair, the bill was reassigned to the subcommittee.
Okay.
That is the mechanism by which it was able to be scheduled.
Okay, fine. Okay, I'd understood that they weren't going to reassign it back to us, but I guess it's here for this specific purpose then.
That's correct.
Okay. Other questions that may be relative to the Capital Planning Commission. We'll go ahead and reschedule this on Monday when Senator Winters will be back. By then, all the members will have an opportunity to have reviewed the material and perhaps viewed the tape relative to the recommendation of Legislative Fiscal Office. Did you make any recommendation with regard to budget management related to the continuing appropriation for potential expenditures in the interim?
Mr. Chair, that is in the recommendation for House Bill 3597. As it's indicated, budget management would also like the direction, a specific direction, that they have a limitation amount defined, and that would be my recommendation as well, then, to add to House Bill 3597 an expenditure limitation in 2003-2005 for Department of Administrative Services from other funds, specifically from the Capital Planning Commission account, in the amount of $21,630. Legislative Fiscal Office and Budget Management have discussed the amount and believe that that should be sufficient for any unknown expenditures as well as those they have currently calculated.
Okay.
And then did you want to hear any?
Oh, okay. Let's see. We do have, and we are in public session, so let's go ahead and public hearing. Doug Capps has signed up. So, Doug, would you like to come forward, please? And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm happy to have an opportunity to return back to this committee. As Adrian pointed out, we were here first up. Way back in February, it seems like eternity ago. I will have to say that I'm not exactly thrilled with the two bills that are before you, but this does give an opportunity to at least place into the record some comments about the funding of the Capital Planning Commission, and I hope that's permitted. And I'd like to kind of limit my comments to three specific categories. One is the bill itself. The other is the funding and decommissioning impacts, at least a couple of comments to fully assess the impacts and the consequences. And then thirdly, to respond very specifically to questions that have arisen about funding and respond to some alternatives that have been to the proposed bills that have been suggested. Well, if that's permissible, Mr. Chair, I want to see along those lines, and I can do this fairly quickly.
I think because 5506 was the original funding bill, that's why I ask about it. It certainly, as we consider the amendment, to just do a very specific issue with it, Doug, it's certainly open for discussion, which includes the funding and suspension and any alternatives. So, please.
Thank you very much. Ever since the commission was placed on the co-chair suspension list in April with the co-chair's budget for 0305, the question has been asked, and I've been asking it and others have, so what were the fundamental reasons for putting the Capital Planning Commission on the cut list, and what was the goal? And I have found in my travels around this building that there have been many answers. Some are based on perceptions of the commission. Some are based on opinions about this or that decision that the commission made. Some are based on who serves or who have served on the commission as members of the commission, notwithstanding the fact that virtually all of our commission members are really assigned by their position under our statutes. And on that particular note, I believe that you will find that over time that there's been a balance between the extremes and the avoidance of political agendas by whomever serves on our commission assigned by statute, and particularly because the commission's charge is to make findings of fact, and those findings of fact have to hold up under appeal if they were to ever be appealed. So given all of those variety of answers, the one consistent answer that I think is fairly obvious, and that's, well, the commission is being decommissioned to save general fund dollars. our budget request, as you know, is $326,000. Only one-third of that is general fund money. That dollar amount is about a little over $100,000. But note that $100,000 in general fund savings results in the loss of $200,000 of other funds. Defunding also loses the contribution of 9 virtually unpaid, there is per diem for some, who have a wealth of commission members, who have a wealth of experience and expertise. And in addition to that, defunding also loses the contribution of a professional design review group, one of whom wrote to the Ways and Means Committee, one who is actually an award-winning, internationally acclaimed architect, who said, the most important building and planning projects in our state should be public buildings and spaces. And I have served on the Design Review Committee without pay and can tell you that finished projects reviewed by the Commission would not be nearly as well done without our oversight and feedback. So if it's about the money, and if the assumption is that this House bill, in the House bill, that the planning and review functions can be held in abeyance, then project review is either not going to be carried out or it will be carried out by the local planning entity. So let's just take a moment and look at the local planning entity. That would be, in most cases, the City of Salem Planning Commission. And they have said, when they were considering this possibility, that they may have to, they didn't say they would, but they may have to consider adding new regulations for project reviews. The local review suggested would add more time to state agencies, add more costs to agencies who would be required to pay planning fees, and add more costs to the city, which has estimated that it may have to hire somewhere between 1.5 and 2 people to the city planning staff. Now, coincidentally, that's about what the Capital Planning Commission staffing level is. And it's also been said in city circles that this would create an unfunded mandate to the city, which I believe creates a atmosphere of ill will between the state and the host city of the state capital. Well, those are just a few of the consequences. If those procedures, by the way, that the city has at least discussed are not in place, then we would have to say that capital projects would proceed without the benefit of public review. All right. Now, having said all of that, and I'm sorry that Representative Johnson isn't here, because when I've talked with her, she always says, you know, cut out the philosophy, get down to the bottom line. So here is a response to 2 points that members have suggested that might be pursued. Senator Schrader commented that if we were to make a showing of some kind of general fund savings, this could at least be considered in the Ways and Means process. Quote, no guarantees, but considered. And, Mr. Chair, you have also commented to me, I think appropriately, that we might explore the possibility of operating like the private sector, exploring a development or permit fee approach. Fees would shift part of the CPC's operating cost to actual users of CPC services. And I would note parenthetically that some of those users may, in fact, if they were to be paying a fee, be using non-general fund dollars. So in response to those questions, we developed a concept that has 3 parts. One would be to return some portion of our recommended budget back to the general fund. We'd even suggested equivalent to the general fund assessment of our budget, which is about $100,000. Secondly, to retain an assessment equivalent to, it wouldn't all be other funds, but equivalent to other funds of the governor's recommended budget. This captures 2 other funds that would otherwise be lost. And then finally, replace as much as possible the equivalent of the general fund portion with permit and development fees. Now, this would shift the costs of some of the services to actual users and builds in more accountability to the CPC for the services that it provides, and I think that's an important consideration in an environment of tight budgets. Now, the next question then would be, well, does this concept have any feasibility? Well, first of all, it's not contained in the governor's recommended budget. Secondly, it has not been tested in this unique environment. But I will say that there are planning commissions all over the state, and I provided some information to the chair previously, that do this on a routine basis, that charge for project reviews and plan amendments, and the fees range anywhere from a few hundred dollars to many thousands of dollars. And secondly, there are projects in our 0305 work program, depending on how the legislature funds capital projects, that and planning activities that would be good candidates for fees. So it's only a concept, and I bring that back to you as you consider this other bill alternative to seek some guidance as to whether that's worth pursuing, and that may be something that might be considered in your work session. But we would, as advocates of that approach, obviously, suggest that if you would be comfortable with a longer-term answer to whether that's feasible, then give us the authority to operate with an adjusted budget that saves and reduces saves general fund money, reduces the assessment, have us return to an e-board, perhaps after a year, and appropriate the rest of the assessment based on our best efforts at pursuing the fee approach. So that's an alternative. There's another reason why I would like to suggest this alternative to the bill that's in front of you. And it has to do with two members of this committee, one of whom serves on the Capital Planning Commission. Senator Winters has expressed some concern that our Capital Planning Commission procedures are too cumbersome to allow for fast-tracking of specific projects. And the commission has been committed to work on this issue, particularly related to projects when economic development potential is high. There's another member of this committee, Representative Johnson, who expressed some concern that we were wimps by not stopping the siting of a particular project on a large parcel of property in East Salem, particularly because not all of the local approvals were in place. Well, the commission has already begun a process to work on a revised review procedure, what I call an integrated review process, working with the project managers and with the City of Salem, where all of the reviewing entities at the state and local level are working more closely together, project by project, to assure that no project goes forward without meeting all of the requirements. So that would be another reason for delaying the decommissioning action that's in front of you. That would give us some time to be able to pursue those issues. And then lastly, I just want to make a comment that's perhaps a little more personal. to some extent, I guess I feel as if those of us who are still connected with the Capital Planning Commission, you know, it has been in existence for 55 years, are sort of carrying the weight of that entire history and legacy of the commission on our own shoulders. But I do want to say to you, and maybe this doesn't have to be said, but I know that when the staff guy shows up, you know, it may appear to be all about job protection. But I want you to know that our good administrative specialist, Ellen Russell, who sits in this audience, is retiring. She's had a 23 or 24-year history with the Capital Planning Commission, knows more about it than I do. And so it's not about job protection for her. And as for me, I've had a rich and varied career. I'm not intending to quit working, and I have lots of opportunities to pursue. But so the reason I am here is because I believe the Capital Planning Commission stands for something. And it stands for the principle that it's good for the state to be concerned about the orderly planning of its future in the host capital city. That's what the policy of the statute that created the Capital Planning Commission says. And the Capital Planning Commission also stands for the principle that it's important how major capital investment decisions get made and what values are brought to those decisions. The legacy of the Capital Planning Commission over its 55-year history is partly in what you see, the Capitol Mall probably being our best example. But the legacy of the Capital Planning Commission is also what you don't see, achieving the results that the legislature funded, played out in an orderly and professional and collaborative decision-making environment where all of the parties are at the table, all the interests are reconciled, and the public has an opportunity to be heard. That's what we would hope would continue. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Doug. Appreciate your testimony. Are there specific questions of Doug? Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. With that, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bills 5506 and House Bill 3597. Thank you very much, Adrian. You'll need that for your question. And we will open then a work session on the report on the Mill Creek property. It being 9:15 in the morning at the scheduled time. And Representative Berger, would you like to come forward, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Vicki Berger, State Representative District 20, which is the Salem area. I appreciate just a few minutes of your time to speak on this particular issue. I am speaking really this morning on behalf of my mayor, who called me yesterday and said, Vicki, Jackie's not there, and Mill Creek is up, and I would like to be there but need to be in Portland. And in fact, basically said if she had to change her entire schedule, she would have been here today to speak to you. That's how important the Mill Creek proposal is to her, as a businesswoman, as a dedicated public servant in Salem who considers this the central piece of what she's trying to do to bring economic development to Salem. So I'm here simply to encourage you to look at this proposal favorably, to analyze it in terms of what it does for the state, as is your responsibility, and remember that Salem is very supportive of this particular proposal. And that is basically my message today.
Thank you very much. And I'd open that as a work session. We really don't have the other members, so let's stand at ease for a moment while we go get the other co-chair, and that way we'll have sufficient to be legal here. Recess. This bill has been posted. This report has been posted only for work session, and we don't have a co-chair here sufficient to create a quorum. So with that, we'll go ahead and repost the receipt of the Mill Creek property report for next Monday, and see if we can't get a quorum here in order to hold a work session and to receive the report. With that, we will go ahead and close general government. Thank you.